Right, let me just confirm. Jed, are you back with us?
I am, yep.
Perfect. Carl and Kevin, are you back with us?
Yes, we're here.
All right, beautiful. Welcome to each of you and all of you to the Media Bids Power Hour, an educational opportunity that is focused on advertising sales media. Whether you are selling digital ads, e-newsletter ads, whether you're selling website, whether you're selling print, you're in the right spot. We have those of you who have paid circulation, a la newspapers and magazines. We have those of you who have free circ around niche and niche publications. And then we have those of you with control. We have a wide variety of those of you providing media solutions in a variety of ways. We are delighted that you are here. Over the last 22 years, we've hosted an educational power hour just like this, and it's intended to give you tools and checklists and strategies that will help you win. It's also intended to give you strategies that will help you immediately. In other words, as you're listening to the work that we're going to be doing today, make notes, and as you're making notes, it will be transferring the knowledge to you. It is not an accident that we don't have something on the screen for you, which would create many-tasking or multitasking. All of the very best in adult research related to learning says the more notes that you take, the more notes you make, the more successful you will be, which is the coach approach from our perspective and point of view in the work that we do with those of you in this space. With me is Jed, the CEO and founder of MediaBids. Jed, we always appreciate the wonderful support from you and your team. So how about some opening words about what's cooking around MediaBids? I'll say a few words about Power Hour, and then I'll have you introduce our wonderful guests, Carl and Kevin, with Altitude Marketing. So how about some opening words about MediaBids, Jed?
Sure. Thanks, Ernest. As always, Ernest brings a lot of knowledge to these calls. Today, Carl and Kevin are helping with that and sort of providing their viewpoint from their vantage point. But I want to thank everyone for joining us. My name is Jed Gould. I'm the president of MediaBids, and we are a company that is entirely devoted to driving revenue to print publications. We do it in a variety of different ways. One of the fastest-growing methods that we use is pay-for-response, where we're placing ads in publications and then paying publications based on the response that's generated. Carl and Kevin have been with Dish and at Altitude Marketing for quite a while, for over 10 years, and they've been working with us. They're one of our largest clients when it comes to the pay for response space, and so I thought it would be interesting for publishers who have used MediaBids and who are thinking of using MediaBids to hear how an advertiser like Altitude Marketing thinks about marketing in general, thinks about publications, and sort of how marketing for them has changed and how they really try to track and monetize the response that they get. We're looking forward to hearing some of their insights, and I will turn it back over to Ernest. Again, thanks Ernest for shepherding us along.
Says the shepherd.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Jed. Formerly the shepherd. My name is Ernest Orietti. My company is Power Hour. I've been in the advertising sales industry since 1986. I launched three of my own media publications. I was a leader in a billion-dollar media group, and we launched Power Hour 22 years ago back in 1995. We've now coached and guided more than 2,500 advertising sales companies, their sales teams in 13 time zones around the world. It's always a pleasure coming here together. We've always believed in the spirit of giving educational opportunity every 30 days since the launch of Power Hour. And anytime we come together like this, we always have three specific goals. Number one, we want to share new ideas, and you're going to hear those in just a few minutes. And during the course of this MediaBids Power Hour, we want to bring new ideas to stretch and spur and stir your thinking. Number two, we want to confirm the things you're doing are mirroring the best practices of what we're seeing with media sales reps around the world. And then the third are the things that you're not planning or we're not. Those are the serendipitous things, the other ideas that will crop up when you're listening to this educational opportunity and when you begin to hear the sharing that's going to come from Kevin and Carl from Altitude Marketing. So thank you so much for being here with us. Listen closely, make notes, send a follow-up note or questions along the way if there's things that we can answer for you, and we're delighted that you're here, you are here with us. As all of you have heard, Carl is the founder of Altitude Marketing. Kevin is the VP of marketing as well. We're so delighted that they are here joining us. You have their website to go learn more about their company as a follow-up to today. So let's go ahead and give a warm welcome to both Kevin and Carl. Thank you so much for joining us, guys.
Thank you, Ernest and Jed. That was a very gracious introduction. Thank you so much. I'm Carl Schmelz, and I'm in my 24th year in the satellite television space. My partner, Jim Steven, who's actually with some very senior executives at Dish all week, has been in the space for over 32 years. And so that means we go back with the Dish Network people longer than Dish Network has been around, because they are, if you don't know, the Big Dish Company. Remember back to the Big Dishes, right? They're the ones who grew up when the dishes shrunk down. And so they're actually a family company. They're public, but the families own a majority of that company, and that's been the case since 1980. And so Dish has never been sold or bought. They've bought in companies. But I understand us to be the longest-running retailer, certainly national. And so just to kind of set perspective, we've been with Dish a long, long time, and we were very successful with them when they were Big Dish in the door-to-door space. We helped carve out radio with them when they were just getting started. We did a lot of television. We did a lot of radio. We did a lot of events. We had 15 retail stores. We've done a lot of shared mail. I'm going through decades here, so it kind of blends together. But over the last 10 years, we were doing a huge amount of print media. We were the solo mail retailer. We had we were doing 2 to 2.5 million envelopes a week for years, and so we are not shy with print media. We love print media. We decided a few years ago to really get mature with our web prowess, which, to be completely frank, was not as strong as it should have been when we were doing so much print media. And so now that's more or less mission accomplished. We're proficient in search, and now we're looking back at history thinking, you know what? That print customer had a lot to do with getting really the best quality customers. And when we're at our best, we're really doing what we call interrupt media, like we're inserting and creating demand. And search traffic is an important part of our business, but you're really not interrupting and creating demand, which really is what our category needs. A story needs to be told about why Dish, and a conversation has to be had. It doesn't work in an online shopping cart model. It never has. There's no one doing that. It's got to be a human being talking to another human being about their lifestyle, their interests and hobbies, and why Dish is such a great fit for them. And so print is a great way to introduce that conversation with people, because it arrives to them when they're not actively searching for it, which is really why we're really excited about a whole new kind of relationship with print and media bids in general. So we're excited to be here, and thank you again.
Well, beautiful. We really appreciate it, both Carl and Kevin. So let's work our way through. We have four specific areas and questions that we want to kind of work around, and then you'll hear from Jed and myself, and as other questions filter in, we'll also tuck those into the conversation. So let's talk just a little bit about Altitude and your company, Altitude Marketing, and how you approach the marketing for Dish work. What matters most to the two of you when you're sort of focused on the marketing component? Let's start with that if we could, okay?
Well, sure. I think we have something in common here with everybody. That's the bottom line. But it's a little bit different because we're in the wireless telecom space, right? So a similar business model would be cellular phones, from Verizon or AT&T and Dish and DirecTV, where we're giving a consumer a very high-end product for virtually no money, from the consumer up front at all. And so, bottom line is important, but we're all about long-term, because if our customers, if we don't get the right customers and they're not happy, what we think of as positive results or bottom-line friendly results today could turn out to be not what we have in say 3 to 5 or 6 months if we're not very careful about, the message, the demographic, and, of course, the partners we do so much business with. So it's bottom line for sure, but much more it's about, healthy, sustainable, long-term relationships with the right customers and the right partners.
So maybe you could describe to everyone, what happens when there's an ad appears in a publication, and that person, someone who's interested in Dish, calls the number in the ad. You have your own call center, and so maybe you could just tell people a little bit about the call center aspect of your business, because it's something we hear a lot about, but we don't I think the average person who's working for a publication doesn't have the opportunity to sort of hear what that process is like.
Sure. Well, we're right here. We're 100% onshore. We're right here in New York, rural New York State, which is what most of New York State is. we own and operate the call center. We have a lot of capacity here. We're open long days. We go 7 a.m. to midnight nearly every single day. And we try to be as straightforward and friendly as we possibly can. We've been at this a long, long time. We try to make it a good, positive experience. If you were to see the call center, you'd see a relaxed, professional environment. We do a lot of contesting. There's screens with a lot of messaging up and try to keep it very positive. Our managers are very hands-on. Sleeves are always rolled up here, no matter what position or title you have. We all come from selling, every single one of us. There's not a person in our call center, that myself included, anybody here. Kevin was one of our star salespeople also. We all were salespeople at some point. We wear different hats today. But we all come from the in the trenches, doing it, communicating honestly with the consumer, and describing, this our industry and our products. We all of us here, there's not an exception, have come from that.
Right, and so what's the why spend? In today's day, you touched on a little bit before, but in today's world where you can put lead forms online and track clicks and find out who people are based on their, based on what service they're using. Why go through all the time and effort to have a call center where you're speaking to people? I mean, because I would imagine that there are Dish providers out there who are essentially taking orders just online, right, without even talking to someone.
Jed, I think you'd be surprised how well that does not work.
Yeah.
No, I mean, really, because I hear what you're saying, and that makes sense with so many other industries, okay? But we work hard, we go home, we feed our families, we clean up our stuff, and then we have this daily vacation of consuming some of our favorite media before bed, right? And some of us do it more than others, but media consumption is on the rise. The average household, the average person, is something over 5 hours a day of video consumption. And it's very personal, and it's very unique, right? And so I have to find out from you, what your interests are, what your family's interests are, maybe a little something about what kind of schedules you keep, how busy you are, what kind of sports people are interested in, what kind of music you like, what are your favorite shows. I mean, the FCC calls today's age the golden age of television because it is truly a content explosion. I mean, you have these studios that are cranking out content, Universal, Viacom, all these, and then you have Amazon and Netflix and Apple and they're all creating gorgeous content. These new shows we watch cost $100 million a season, and they're exploding at us. it is a lot out there, and so we have to figure out, okay, are you a Walking Dead person, or do you like Ancient Aliens? That's
right.
Maybe that's good of an example, but you know, we have to find out about you and your household, and so you know, a website or the name of a channel, or worse yet, a logo, does not do it. You know, it doesn't
right.
do it. And so, but that's good news for us. We're good at it, and we love telling the story. And so that good news is, especially in a, you know, pay per call model, our business requires a phone call.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
yeah, hey, this is Kevin, Altitude's VP of Marketing, and I think it also kind of goes into a broader understanding of how a consumer thinks about their entertainment. You know, when you and I purchase entertainment, whether it's we take the wives out to a nice dinner, whether we're buying a nice new set of headphones, TV, a new device, when you think about how you look at entertainment from a buying perspective, you're not really concerned about saving money when you're paying for entertainment. And when you're talking to a consumer about how they consume entertainment, you know, just showing a few channels and a price point isn't going to really tell the story. And truthfully, Dish has one of the best stories to tell. They're truly an innovator. They were the first to integrate the set-top box and a DVR all-in-one machine. The up-down, left-right remote control, that was all Dish created. And to really understand their story, I don't think you can really do it over a website. I think a conversation has to happen. You know, as Carl mentioned before, is they grew their roots by actually in the trenches, talking to customers at home shows and county fairs, in the mall, chasing people down. You got to have a conversation with a customer to really sell entertainment.
Well, I would say that's what makes Dish a lot different. They don't pretend to know everything. They actually listen to consumers, which is the theme of their new TV spot. I don't know if you've seen it, but the main guy is called The Listener. And he goes, what is it?
Spokeslistener.
The Spokeslistener. Okay, I stand corrected. Right, I should get it right. Right. So, but you know, he sits and listens to people, and then you know, and then comes up with ways to solve their, you know, to solve their dissatisfaction with their current provider, or you know, to give them new service. It really is their perspective. That's how they created so many things. We think Dish is the superior choice, you know, for video entertainment, and we sell, you know, all different kinds of products here, though Dish is by far our largest and most important one.
So let me just pause here, Carl and Kevin, and Jed, as we're listening to the two of them and we're looking at point number one that we're talking about, their marketing, I'm hoping those that are listening to us from the media, publishing, ad sales side of the house, that you're listening to them talk about the psychology of their marketing, the psychographics, the demographics of those who they're engaging, and then they're also thinking about what those ad results mean and how they convert that into revenue. Again, take that little piece and think about how deep is your knowledge about each of your advertisers. Big picture, how deep is your knowledge about a sector? For example, if you're doing all of your selling of advertising to realtors, how deep do you live in their world? What do you know about their jargon? For example, back pocket listings, or what do you know about the term called a B-back? Well, if you're selling ads into the multifamily, you know what a B-back is. You know, think about auto dealers, RVs, those of you selling ads into the senior spaces, those of you working in the newspaper, you know, with newspapers and magazines, where you've got lots and lots of categories. You know, understanding intimately their biz and how they think is the very essence of what we're capturing right here. Jed, your comments and observations on that side?
No, I think you hit it on the head, and you know, you can hear how, you know, how Carl and Kevin are, you know, are passionate about getting you know, about what it takes to get a new customer and what new customers are looking for, and you know, and as the call goes on, I think we'll explore more of you know, how that's changed and what's different today than in their approach than it was, you know, maybe a decade ago. But but I think knowing the industry is always an important first step.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. And Kevin and Carl, we talk about that during our academies, our sales academies on Tuesdays. We talk about it, Jed and myself, when we come together for these Media Bid Power Hours. And it's everything that we believe that you have to understand deeply and dearly those that you're selling advertising to, so that you know exactly how to match up the media solutions on the other side. Does that make sense to the two of you?
Absolutely.
No doubt.
Okay. So let's go, if we could then, let's migrate. Jed, you were already heading us in that direction. Let's go to the second question that we wanted to address and that we hear is sort of this reoccurring theme. When we think about the marketing approach for DISH, what has changed, you know, over the last 10 years versus the last 10 months? So take us out a bit, you know, macro, and then bring us in over the last 10 months, and you might go, gosh, in the speed of which we're rolling around here, we'd like to do 10 months, then we'd like to do 10 days, then we'd like to do what's changed in the last 10 minutes, because the speed and rate of what's been going on all media fronts really is moving very rapidly. And as all of you who are listening, listen closely to what they're going to share with you about sort of the evolution of media and media spend and the revolution on the other side. So, guys, what's your take on that?
Okay, Ernest, I'm going to do one better for just a second. I'm going to go back 20 years. For the first 20 years of their existence as a product, they focused on price leadership, and the price was always $19.99, the lowest all-digital price in America, .. call right now. That was their deal, their mantra, their whole deal for 20 years up until the last year or so. And so now they've taken a look back at that and said, well, you know, we did it. We know why we did it, you know, because low price point is a message that cuts through. And if I'm a consumer that doesn't understand, you know, why I should do something, price point helps me understand a lot in a short time. Doesn't get me all the way. Maybe that doesn't attract the best, highest level consumer, but it does a lot. And if I don't want to, you know, if I want to spend only so much, price point does a lot. It gains a lot of attraction. So now Charlie Ergen is the founder of the company, the primary founder, and he's been at the helm for the whole time. And now they're pivoting as a company to say, we don't need to be known as the lowest price customer anymore. We need to be known as the best. We need to know our customer better, and the customer. Their whole focus is a geographic one today, and that's rural, very rural, or rural suburbs. If that makes any sense, I don't know if that's really a technical term, rural suburbs, but I know rural is very rural. So they're going for a higher credit customer, which we get from MediaBids. Jed, your customers are very good for us, and they're going. That's the kind of customer we want, and they're going more rural and very rural. So, you know, if it's a print customer, it's going to be a certain kind of demographic, which fits on the credit side, that fits on the demographic side, and on the geographic side, the focus is to go to not the most, you know, the biggest cities, you know, the largest DMAs, but you know, the places in between. And that's really where they do the best. That's where we do the best. And that's what we're really trying to get done these days a whole lot.
Now, in terms of how that actually relates to our media, you know, really, so I started about 10 years ago. So I kind of came in as Altitude had a huge focus on direct mail. We killed a lot of trees. And we we moved from direct mail into shared mail. Digital focus, again, really happened probably around 2011, 2012. And, again, digital is great at a lot of things. And the key thing is we have to be in lockstep with our partners. And as Carl mentioned, it did kind of change their focus on who their customer is. As they revert back to this rural, high-credit customer, you know, we found that print gives us the best win-win in terms of how we acquire that customer. So we're looking at more and more publications that have rural footprints, you know, a more mature, credit-worthy customer, and you know, as Carl mentioned, the MediaBits program has been fantastic for us in terms of customer quality and creating a win-win for, I think, both of us on.
So when you were buying direct mail, you were buying it just on a CPM basis, right, a cost per thousand basis?
Well, we had solo – I mean, we're talking about solo mail. Number 9 envelopes were a big one.
That started as
a train car full of paper or more. And then became, you know, 15 million envelopes and inserts and letters and all kinds of stuff. We trucked it out all over the place, you know, 17 different distribution points initially. So I'd have to probably get clarification on that one, Jed, but, you know, because we looked at it a lot of different ways, you know, the plus four, the whole thing.
Well, I guess we're saying
Right, exactly. Yeah, you were sort of paying for distribution, so to speak.
We, so to speak, can say that, yes.
Yeah. And I only bring that up because, you know, one of the things that that we often talk to publications about is how things have changed for a business like yours, where response-based advertising, whether it be in print or online, has really become sort of the primary way that you think about your marketing costs. I mean, I'm sure there are examples to the contrary, but for the most part, you know, it's marketing for a company like yours seems to now be really about sort of, you know, managing the costs associated with the response, as opposed to the way it was maybe a decade ago, where you were worried less about tracking and more about, you know, trying to get better prices with distribution.
We thought we were pretty good trackers back then. That's kind of what we've always behaved like that. Where, I mean, it's got to be trackability. I mean, I can think about that when I was brand new in this thing a long time ago. You know, I think pay per call is the easiest way to think about something. I think we're not opposed to more standard, kind of ROP type, ad placement in publications that we know are effective for us. I would even go the other way with it. That I think, you know, pay per call is a great way to begin, but not where it ends. Maybe it ends in more of a steady relationship with ad placement once we get, you know, down the road a little bit. But we love
right.
the pay per call program, no doubt.
If I can just insert, this is Ernest. If I can insert, we have a question that says, "Do you work with, you know, as long as you're talking about print, do you work with Yellow Page directories, and is that part of your mix? Where is the state of that?" Just curious, related to the print side.
Now, as we're coming off from a larger buy we did a couple of years ago, it's become definitely a smaller piece of the business than it had been previously. But again, as Dish has more recently changed the customer mix, it may become something we look at again down the road. I think right now we found that, you know, programs with MediaBiz would consist of a lot of, you know, regional papers and things like that. That seems mm-hmm. to be really hitting the sweet spot for us in terms of our customer quality, mm-hmm. You know, coupled with acquisition costs.
Yeah, directories mm-hmm. have come up in conversation more again recently, but the answer to the question is no, we're not heavy in the print directory space today. Online is a little different, mm-hmm. but print directory is not where we're very strong mm-hmm. today.
Okay. All right. Very good. So we'll continue to field the questions that are coming in. Please continue to send them to us. And so let's, if we could, Carl and Kevin, let's shift gears to the third point third question on the table, and that is, how does ad response vary by marketing channel? Now, you've already shared some of that with us, but let's kind of walk through the channels and maybe give us a little read. And as all of you are listening to Kevin and Carl, think about your media solution. Think about where you fit in. And then let's listen to what they're observing. I mean, in essence, you're listening to an ad buyer tell you what they are seeing and observing. Now, remember that this is related to Dish. This isn't, that doesn't mean that this equates to every category, but how fortunate we are to have them share, because they are such large media buyers, and print has been such an important and successful model for them. But look at the opportunity that we get to kind of listen to them talk about the different channels, okay? So, guys, what are your observations from as you think about sort of ad response by marketing channel?
Sure, Ernest, I'll field that one. mm-hmm. You know, in the most broad sense, we've always found that the narrower the target, the better response we drive. And you can see that evident back in our direct mail days, which we could really refine down to household-level understanding of customer. Obviously, the economics of targeting that deep became difficult after a point, but you could also get the highest response rate. We could see the same sort of trends in our search marketing where, you know, an exact match keyword coupled with really targeted ad text will gen a higher response rate than, you know, a much more broad term, satellite television, for example. Depending on the level of which you want to target that consumer, what we find with things like the MediaBits program is we're coming up in a wide array of newspapers, magazines, and, you know, one thing that we're looking at is bringing on some additional contract design staff so we can increase the amount of creative that we're providing to MediaBits and better tailor that towards the publication in which we're in. You know, we buy out through, let's say, the coffee news, for instance. You know, maybe having something that's more themed around the audience and as well as the other content in that publication, we believe we're going to be able to drive an even higher response than we are today.
I think more sustainable also. I think tailored creative is the first step. I think the second one is by rotating creative, by having more flicks to choose from, you know, we're going to be able to sustain, you know, response rate in a different way than we have in the past also.
And then, for example, if you were targeting, you mentioned Coffee News, I'm familiar with, or if you were to target, for example, Natural Awakenings, which is sort of a green and natural audience, are you saying that you would also shift your message for that particular audience, for example?
I think that would certainly be the goal, absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's what I heard you saying in terms of being able to tailor it from that perspective. So,
No, just that we have two more artists standing by. They'll be ready to do more pieces for us. So we're actually already preparing for what we're talking about right now.
And Jed, your perspective on ad response and the marketing channels from your perspective.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think that it's hopefully refreshing to hear. For the people, you know, for the publications and people who work at publications on the phone, to hear what Carl and Kevin are saying, and what they're saying is that, you know, print is working for them. I think that the customers that they're generating from print are the kinds of customers that they're looking for. And some of that is because of the publications themselves, right? The fact that they're hitting, as I think it was Kevin who mentioned, the geographic areas that generate the best customers. Some of it is because of maybe the process that someone goes through, where it's more of a considered phone call. It's not like you're clicking on a link and saying, you know, I hate my cable company, maybe I'll switch, and you click on a link and nothing ever happens and you never follow through with it. You know, responding to a print ad is a more considered response. So, you know, I think that all sort of factors into it. But I think it's important for the people on the phone to also realize that, you know, that the biggest flaw with print for a lot of companies, and I think that it's this is true for Altitude as well, is that there's, you know, they're always looking for ways to generate more volume, ways to generate more phone calls from your readership, because ultimately that means more money for them and it means more money for publications. So what the idea behind, I think tailoring ads really, really boils down to is, you know, how can we appeal to even more of the readers who are seeing our ads? And, you know, instead of, you know, one out of every, you know, 100 people calling us, now all of a sudden, if it's 2 out of 100, you can imagine that ends up being a very big number. So, you know, and I think that's the kind of thing that publications in some ways can help with, right? Because sometimes publications have, you know, sections or articles or, you know, parts of their publication that where someone who is more likely to respond to a dish ad might be looking. A dish ad that's sort of thrown into the food section for no sort of logical reason is probably less likely to do well than, you know, a dish ad that's in a sports section or a main news section you get the idea. So I think that publications can help with that by sort of thinking about the content and thinking about how the ads fit.
And if I can insert a question, we have several questions that have come in just about how, Kevin and Carl, you go about your tracking. So could you just say a bit about that, as long as we're talking about ad response by marketing channels?
Well, something like MediaBids, as Carl mentioned, it definitely simplifies the amount of tracking we need to do. we essentially don't have to really track response as much as we do. What is our cost per call and what is our rate of turning those leads into a sale and an installation on our side? Whereas if we were looking at something more traditional, let's say, you know, print marketing, you'd have to track the response component as well. So it actually simplifies things for Altitude when we deal with per inquiry programs.
Well, just so we're clear, I mean, we track the daylights out of what we do. That's how we're able to do it. I mean, we have, you know, we have hundreds of, I mean, lots of toll-free numbers. I don't even know how many. I mean, I know Jed's got a lot more. You know, so we track, I think we track stuff down to the, track the daylights out of it.
Oh, absolutely. So some of our channels, let's say, you know, with digital, for instance, you know, we know every market, every ad vehicle, what type of customer generates, what its acquisition cost
right.
is. You know, if you ask me, does the term satellite television in Terre Haute make sense? I can tell you absolutely it does. You know, we believe in a data-driven approach to all of our marketing.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, and the reason I ask that, guys, this is Ernest again. The reason I ask that is because for those that are listening, as you're both, you know, sort of absorbing what they're talking about with their marketing spend, you know, the precision in which they're measuring and the precision in which they're tracking the activity, you have to ask yourself the same thing. How are you tracking ads for your advertisers? What reports do you derive and generate once a month? What ahas are you bringing back to them that show that you know as much or more or at least on par with what it is they know, and therefore you're in alignment with their ad results, their ad goals, and what they're trying to accomplish on that side? All of this has got to be synced up together, and that's the important part to recognize. Jed, your comments on that?
So I'm sort of contractually bound to sort of give this speech in every one of our phone calls.
I gave you a softball. You're jonesing over there.
So, I mean, so Kevin and Carl, one of the things that I often mention on these calls is what MediaBids does, and you guys know this firsthand because we do it, you know, we do it in your ads, is we put unique phone numbers into every ad that we put out. I often recommend to publications that they do the same on their own, where they use unique phone numbers and then are able to generate results and generate data based on the, you know, that gives them some insight into how the ads that they're running are performing. So from a sales perspective, you know, it should be beneficial to be able to say to a client, you know, and I'm talking now about just a regular paying client, you know, this is the number of responses that you generated. And with very little effort, it becomes pretty easy to determine sort of, as Kevin was mentioning, what a call is really worth, right? You know, so when Kevin is looking at what a call is really worth, without getting into sort of the economics of everything, he's basically looking at you know, what a customer buys, how long that customer lasts, what the overall percentage is, but you know, of that person buying. So for every 10 calls, you know, Kevin and Carl could probably tell you, you know, we're making 3 sales, or we're making 3 sales with 2 people who might come back in the next month, type of thing. You know, so they're able to then say, well, each one of those phone calls is worth a certain amount for us. And the same can be done really for any business, you know, where if you're selling an ad to a mattress store and the mattress store is selling mattresses for, you know, $200, and, you know, and they have, you know, and one out of every, you know, 7 people who call them ends up buying, you know, you can make a pretty good determination of how much revenue your ad generated. And when you start speaking to advertisers about revenue and response as opposed to about how much space costs, it really changes the selling equation, and it's changed, and it gives you a lot more power, and gives and I think frames what you're offering in a way that aligns itself much better with what other mediums are doing today.
Well said, Jed. I think
Yeah. Hey, guys, your comment regarding what Jed just shared?
No, I think the two biggest recommendations I could give to publishers out there is, number one is track everything that you can. Gather as much data as humanly possible. Now, that's the easy part.
Uh-huh.
Number two is really understanding what all that data means. You know, one thing we're doing is we're beginning to kind of merge, you know, our historical understanding of all those markets from our much heavier print days, and we're starting to utilize that more in our digital space. So it begins with an understanding of how those markets perform, how the customer looks in each of those markets, how does the acquisition cost vary market to market, and now we're beginning to apply some of that learning to our digital focus and in terms of how we continue to grow our publications with MediaBids.
Right, and so in our world, you know, our economics change the more creditworthy the customer is. So in the past, you know, we would look at things as a simple, okay, blended rate, okay, what you spend, what you get, how many customers do you have? Well, now we're able to, you know, we're looking at things differently. Well, okay, maybe the response was good, right? Maybe you think you like another source of calls better, but then when you look at what you really came in the door as far as, well, no, these customers have a higher credit score. That means they're going to stick around longer, buy more programming and equipment from Dish. Dish is then in turn going to pay us more. You know what? We're going to choose to go with that one. You know, so the understanding changes a bit. It's different than just response or just it's even more important than really conversion rate. You know, it's what are you really bringing in really. You know, versus what you think you are, and so that's, I think where we are now is understanding, you know, what's really happening at a different kind of level.
Right, and if Carl and Kevin were selling cars, they would want the exact opposite, right? They would want people who didn't have good credit scores because then they could give them loans, right? So it's not about I'm serious, but because so yeah. I'm you know, I don't want a publisher who might be listening to think, well, you know, I don't think that the people in my area have good credit scores, so therefore, you know, there's no hope because it's really not about, you know, Kevin and Carl are looking for an altitude market area and looking for a specific type of, a specific type of customer. But that doesn't mean that every business is, right? And there's lots of businesses who are looking for the types of customers that you might have, you know, the type of readers that you might have. It's just a matter of sort of finding the right match.
Right. Absolutely. And guys, that match is sort of a nice little segue to the fourth and final point that we agree that we're going to work around. Because we know that media sales reps, right, are always looking for a bigger share of the advertising budget. So what can publications and ad sales media teams do to grow Dish's advertising spend this year? What do they need to do? What do they need to deliver and provide in order to have you increase the spend with them specifically?
Okay. So I think what's important to understand is that it's not a seasonal business, right? There are a lot of businesses that live or die by what month you're in or what season you're in. Video consumption chugs along. You know, there's always something going on, whether it's baseball, football, new series, you know, when Hollywood blockbusters, you know, roll out of the theaters and come on, you know, and come available to the premium providers. You know, it's a non-seasonal business. So we want to not look at, you know, buying a Dish ad in a seasonal way. Because it does transcend all seasons. Current creative, the correct creative, what do you call it, Kevin? Ad integrity, I think. That's important. Offers do change every 4 to 6 months. Having a history of or attention to, pulling the right ad down or renewing the right ad, that's important. I think starting with the pay-per-call program is a great way to begin.
What would you say to publishers, though, who feel like, you know, and I think I know the answer, but I think it means more coming from you guys. What would you say to publishers who say, you know, why should I run a pay-per-call ad for Dish Network, this big, huge company that clearly can afford to buy an ad in my publication? Why should I buy? Why should I run a pay-per-call ad and assume all the risk myself?
Hey, I'll tell you why, Jed. Dish doesn't have any retail stores. Dish sells most of what they sell through retailers like us. They've always done that. They've never opened a retail store. They do have call centers. They do sell some deals. But the majority of sales of people who get Dish get it from retailers. It's always been the case. They believe in that. Jim DeFranco and Charlie Ergen, who founded Dish Network way back, well, before there was Dish, it was EchoStar Communications, back in 1980. They were retailers of the big satellite dish who became distributors, who became manufacturers, who bet on the future and who now are working on a wireless plan long term. But they come from the retail side. So they've always favored retailers. Look, you know, if it's my dollar or your dollar or anyone here's listening dollar, we're going to spend our money a little bit differently than an ad agency out of Madison Avenue. And there's nothing wrong with working with a big ad agency, right? But when it's your money, you're going to treat it with a little different kind of respect, right? And so Dish gets that, and that kind of guides their behavior.
Well,
if you look,
and I think, you know, and I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you know, when I've spoken to you guys, you know, at various times, you know, I mean, one of the things which I think is also true, and it's worth people on the call understanding, is that most of what you're doing is response based. You're paying based on some type of response. So if it's you know, if it's a click, you're paying for clicks. If it's a view, you're paying for views. If it's, you know, in print, you're paying for phone calls. But that's sort of how your marketing is now done.
So I think you're exactly right.
I'm sure there are exceptions, but I mean, by and large, I think that's what I'm, you know. I think it's important for people to understand that that you and MediaBids and anyone who's doing, you know, per response is not necessarily doing it just as a way to try to get an ad in a publication, but instead as a way to truly market it.
So the message is lately, right? There's this thing called the Flex Pack. And it takes a lot for – this is Dish Network's promotion. This is the thing they're doing now, and I think they're getting it right. They're taking a small pared-down programming package of 50 channels, which gives them still the landslide price leadership position of $39.99 a month. That's a regular price, undiscounted. That's the normal deal. And then you can add up to 13 different pieces to it, which is kind of like how we approach some of our streaming. You know, so a lot of us are streaming more video than ever before also. And Dish gets that, I think, better than any other provider. And so the promotion, the way of thinking now goes, you know, give people what they want, right? So they're treating their programming package, their primary programming package, like an a la carte service where you can choose and modify your way into getting exactly what you want while not paying for what you don't want. And that's what resonates with consumers right now. And so that's our go forward message. It's theirs, but it also has to be ours because it makes a ton of sense.
And Jed, to even take that a step further, I want to address your question specifically in terms of, if I'm a publisher, why would I want to choose Altitude and Dish per inquiry versus a standard buy? So unlike a lot of companies out there, we are primarily a transactional based company. We're not placing ads for branding purposes. We are a 100% direct response marketing company. Every piece of creative that we design, every website and ad that we write is designed to acquire customers. So I think what you're going to see is if you're going to test a program with per inquiry, I think our program is a great one to go with, because our only goal is generating a phone call. You know, because again, Altitude doesn't benefit by, you know, a branding message. Doesn't help us. We are concerned about generating phone calls here. So I think if there's a program that you want to try per inquiry with, I think the Dish program with Altitude is a great way to go.
Mm-hmm. And listen, this is, you know, for those who are joining us, as you're listening to Carl and Kevin and Jed talk about media spend, media and advertising marketing, the choices of the various channels, the importance of the response that's being generated, you know, you're hearing a very honest assessment in the way that they approach it, in the way that they're looking at the media solutions. And you have to ask yourself, are we prepared to work in this environment? Do we have the kind of measurable response that's needed? How hard have we worked on the readership, truly the readership, or if it's our distribution and our circulation, whether we're paid or free or controlled? How hard have we worked on our e-newsletter to bring people back to our website, which brings people back to the print? How hard do we work on the print side to bring people back into the digital, to keep that nice loop and that nice circle the way that we do with our audiences and our readers and our readership? All of these things count, because when Kevin and Carl are looking at the ad results, that's where the rubber meets the road. All the hard work and effort you're doing behind the scenes to ensure the right readers, the right reach, the right messages, they're plugging in and saying, hey, if you've done a nice job, we're pleased and we're rocking forward, and we're going to continue to buy and commit to working with you. And if it's not, they're going to honestly say, it's not, right? It's not working, it's not fitting, and therefore, you know, we're not going to go forward. Okay, so that's an important piece. Jed, observations related to the response from Carl and Kevin on this?
Yeah, you know, I think that it's worth noting, you know, the subtleties of their philosophy, you know, it's not to make it sound too grandiose, but you know, and how it's different, how this conversation today is different than it would have been 10 years ago. You know, 10 years ago, Kevin, it might have been Carl and I talking. Kevin might have been in, you know, in eighth grade or something. But 10 years ago, you know, I think we would have been. We would have been talking about response, but we would have had a lot less of an idea that media should be directly tied to response, in the sense that, you know, we're going to pay based on the response generated. You know, guys like Kevin and Carl, you know, are, you know, if all of us were in their shoes, we would be doing the same thing, right? We would be saying, well, I'm not going to spend money on stuff that I don't know works, right? I'm going to spend money. What's the most efficient way for me to spend money? And if the most efficient way for me to spend money is to pay for a specific response, then obviously the best thing for my business is to do that. You know, it's our job as print people to adapt to that. And, you know, Altitude Marketing didn't invent that idea, right? And then they're not the ones who, you know, who sort of, you know, kind of, you know, forced publications to do this, but unfortunately, there's a lot, you know, I think unfortunately for some people on the phone, there's a lot of businesses out there who now think of marketing like that. And so, you know, in an effort to capture those dollars, you know, we as an industry have to adapt to that, right? And we have to play by those rules, and we have to try to capture as much results as we possibly can for them. That's the best way to capture more of their overall budget.
Mm-hmm. You bet. So. And we hope, as we're coming up to the last couple of minutes here before the top of the hour, we hope that the honesty that you've heard, the awareness, the specifics, the details of the way media is being bought through the eyes of Carl, Kevin, Dish, the commentary that Jed has shared, you know, that was the real spirit of the topic here today, is to really peel it back and ask yourself, what are they really saying, buyers, right, ad buyers, on the other side of the table, what are they really saying, what are they really thinking, and what do I need to do to match my media solutions with their particular needs? And that's the most important part of what we've done here in the course of this past hour. Kevin and Carl, any closing comments or remarks or thoughts to leave our media sales reps and publications?
Carl and Kevin, you guys still with us?
I think think I'd be just making words happen to say that. I thought we got out in a pretty good way what we're about and what we believe in. It's a great product. We're in for the long term. I mean, we're a long term company. We are looking long term. We've been in the industry longer than I think anybody else. And that speaks to, you know, when we're working with someone and finding a partner, you know, I think that, you know, we're always looking for a long term relationship. We're not in anything we do for a quick hit and out. We're in here to get to the next year, next 5, 10, 15 years. We're in for the long term.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah,
Sorry, go ahead, Jeff.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, I can speak to that. I mean, you know, there's a lot of advertisers out there today who are looking for sort of, you know, the least expensive way to get something done today, regardless of sort of how it impacts things tomorrow. And Altitude has always been a great example of how of a kind of partner you want. You know, they really are trying to make sure that that everything, you know, that everyone's interests are aligned, that if they're making money, publications are making money. And that's pretty rare. And I think that it's something they do, you know, they do better than just about anyone, and is to really sort of enter into a response-based agreement with people in the effort to really make sure that everyone wins.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for saying that, Jed.
Absolutely.
And mm-hmm. And you got to look at Dish Network in the same light, as they are also in it for the long haul. Not only have they got their satellite television business, they're investing in Sling TV, which is their streaming over-the-top product, and are probably a couple of years away from taking a venture into wireless. So Dish Network's in it for the long haul. Altitude's in it. MediaBiz has been a great partner for us since 2008,
mm-hmm.
and we're excited to see what the next couple of years hold.
Beautiful. Well, Kevin and Carl, we really appreciate you joining us today with Altitude Marketing. Please look at their website for the work that they do, altitudemarketing.com. Jed, always a pleasure in the work that we do here together. To each of you and all of you, take the time to go look at MediaBiz.com and the wonderful work that they do. So many of you already work with Jed and their team. For those of you who are new today, maybe this is the first educational MediaBiz Power Hour. Welcome. We're delighted you're here. This is a 22-year journey. Every single month we come and we give you sales tools and strategies and a new way to think about the way that we go at the media space. And then last but not least, come into our website, powerhour.com, and you'll see the work that we've done over 3 decades of insight and expertise, and we're here to help you and your media team win, period. Jed, a closing comment before we wrap up here today?
No, thank you very much, Carl and Kevin, for spending this hour with us. We really appreciate it. Thanks, Ernest, for being the professional voice and bringing all of your knowledge to the table. We also appreciate it. You know, Ernest does his Power Hours weekly, which is a great way to learn, you know, get some specific sales ideas, and really no one knows more about the print selling process than Ernest does. So we appreciate his time.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Jed, Carl, and Kevin. Thank you so much. And to each of you and all of you, we'll see you next month. Thanks so much for joining us. It's always a pleasure. Take care, everybody.
Okay. Thanks, Carl, Kevin. Thanks, Ernest. Bye.
Thank you.